Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Now, I don't often play Michael Jackson music as a bumper into an interview, but the gentleman I'm about to interview is a Michael Jackson fan, and I think he touched a lot of hearts around the country. He wrote a letter over the Memorial Day weekend and to American service members. And so Elam Fanous joins us right now. So first of all, am I saying your name right?
Sure.
Elam.
On H, Elham.
Elham.
Yes, Elham.
There you go. How do you say it? Say the last name so I can hear it.
Fanous.
Fanous.
Yes.
Because I get nervous. If I can't say your name right, then I'm nervous the whole time.
Yes, okay.
All right, so.
Throughout the interview, you can just say Elham, and then maybe at the beginning, you can just say Elham Fanous.
Well, since we already started, you just did it, so I'm not. So we're good. So, Elam, okay. First of all, welcome to All Marine Radio. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for doing this. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk about you a little bit. First of all, I met you. I'm just going about my daily business, and all of a sudden, I'm getting ready for my show, and I see this letter from there's a picture of a young man sitting near a piano, and it says the headline of the story is what Afghan music student thanks American service members, and I was like, well, what is it? Here's the headline. The headline, it's in Air Force Times. It says, rising young Afghan pianist wants world to see a different side of his country. So I thought, well, what the hell? I should take a look at that. And I read the article, and I don't know that the headline actually does justice to what you were trying to do. And I read the article, and it's a wonderful article where you said that you understood that American servicemen members were having mental health issues, and if it were in your power, you would talk to each and every one of them. And I just thought it was just an awesome letter. So I went searching for Elam, and lo and behold, there's his email address in the article. So I thought, well, I can do that. And so I sent him an email, and he very graciously said, yeah, I will come on. So so here we are doing an interview. So let's talk about you. What part of Afghanistan were you born in, and where did you grow up in the same place?
Yes, so I was born in Kabul, Afghanistan, and which is the capital, and yeah, I did grow up there in 1997.
All right, so so let's talk about growing up in Kabul. What was in the article you talk about growing up in a world where there was no music? So tell us about the world that you grew up in.
Oh, yeah. So it was officially for musicians, I mean for everyone at that time, you know, because of the Civil War in 1990s. And the music was banned from 1996 and 2001. So I was basically born, yeah, in a world that music was banned. And that's what I do right now. And that's my field of the field that I'm working on. And when I was born, I don't remember when I was 1 year old or 2 year old, but I do remember when I was 5, 6 years old, when I was playing tabla with my father. My father was, he studied in Russia, my mom and my dad, and that's where they met. And my dad was a musician too, but he, even though he studied engineering, and then he decided to do music, that was his passion, and he didn't like the job. Like going from 9-to-5 job kind of thing. He didn't want to sign attendance and stuff like that. So he just quit his job after a couple, several years actually. And then he just followed his heart and play music. So my dad was always singing. He was always with music, even when the music was banned.
Ah!
So,
Yeah, even when it was banned. So how do you get away with that? You just played it in your house? And
Yes. Yeah, so he was singing at the house, curtains down, doors closed. So because if someone could hear the sound of music, especially like if Solomon wasn't in power back then.
Right.
So if they would hear it, I mean, of course, I'm sure you heard the word haram, which means like not allowed in Islam. Basically, right. That's what they think music is. It's not allowed. So if they could hear the sound of music, you'd be probably killed. So my dad used to practice really privately, and I was actually playing tabla with him. And one of his friends who was playing tabla was my tabla teacher, and he would teach me sometimes. And so I could accompany my dad, and we were having fun, a lot of fun, like secretly, basically, because like we couldn't do the outside, we couldn't do concerts. And that was the time when my dad was doing some other stuff while to earn money and because he couldn't do music. But later on, the American veterans, when they went to Afghanistan, I think they did a great job of at least giving us freedom to actually express what we love and do what we want. And I think that really helped even my dad's career to kind of get on TV and sing and do what he really loves. And he actually went on to be a judge at this program called Afghan Star, which is similar to American Idol. And he was a judge there for a year. And
so was he, so what part did he play? Did he play Simon Cowell? Did he play, who was he? Because those shows are incredibly popular around the world, but everyone's a little bit different, right? I don't watch them very often, but my favorite is The Voice, because you see artists working with younger artists, and you see how excited, you know, a novice or amateur artist is, and all of a sudden they walk in the room, and there's somebody like Carrie Underwood, or there's, you know, or there's, God, I'm trying to think who, there's Pharrell is on there, right? And you see them, and you're like, wow, you see the reaction, very cool. But, so is your dad a nice judge or a mean judge?
No, actually, my dad is a really nice judge, and he's the judge that actually could demonstrate pretty much everything. That, for example, some judges are just say what to do, but my dad, if he criticized, he would show you how to do it, like he would sing it for you, which actually a lot of participants they like about my dad, and because he's very like practical, so he would like sing it actually, like how to say it, how to sing it to sound, make it sound better. Which is the Afghan popular song, and also he does some classical. I'm not sure if you've heard of ghazal, which is an Indian type of an Afghan type of music. It's called ghazal, and which is like a poetry, like really deep poetry from Rumi and from many others. Poets, really popular poets, and they compose it and they bring it into musical context. And so he used to do that, and and I was sometimes with him, and I would actually go to his shows sometimes, listen to him, and he was really encouraging for me to become a musician too, like learn music, and because that's what I really liked. So there was just one music school in the entire country, which was also established when music in 2008, which was a little later, but anyway, we could do music basically because of the troops, actually American troops that they went to Afghanistan. I think they saved a lot of lives. I'm pretty sure. I've actually interacted with a few of them, back when I was in Kabul, Afghanistan. But yeah, I went to this school, the only school that male and female can study together, and the only school that teaches Afghan classical music and Western classical music and instruments. I was very fortunate to go to that school, and the founder of that school, Ahmad Samast, which actually you might even be interested in interviewing him as well. He's such a brave man. He won the Polar Prize together with Metallica, and he's just winning all these awards, and he's such a brave person. He got injured actually at one of the attacks and during a performance, and he went to Australia to recover, and he came back to open this school again and continue, and he's doing great now. So he's the founder of my school, and that's the school I went. And then when I finished, I ended up in New York.
Let's talk about that. So you go to music school. Your father's a star, right? And so, right? I mean, he may push back on that, but that's
just,
all right.
Just to clarify, being a star in Afghanistan is totally different being a star in the United States.
It's okay, though. Hey, when you're a star, man. He's a star. So how does, I mean, so you live in that world. Okay, so I want to stop. So growing up, September 11th happens, and the United States obviously goes looking for the Taliban and Osama bin Laden. How did that affect your life? The Russians had been there, right? And then in the aftermath of the Russians, the Taliban. You live in a very, you know, obviously, you talked about a world without music. And then the United States, the war starts. How did the war affect your life? Did it come close to you as a family? Did you have to leave and go anywhere? Talk about that, Inla.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of family members who actually left the country when the war happened. And of course, in the 1950s, when my dad and mom was in college, high school, everything was fine. Afghanistan has a really rich musical and cultural history. And film scene. But the war, of course, there are some things that happened that shouldn't have happened. And like, for example, destroying the building, destroying the scene of the view of the city, right, and stuff, right, like that happened. But in a way, it also made things better. They at least tried to make things better. Like, for example, to make it, 1950s, like when everything was good, and like even the female, they could wear whatever they wanted, like skirts, like such a European kind of influence, the environment.
So in the 1950s, you could do that?
Yeah. In 1960s, 50s, you could do that. Yeah. There are actually college students that could like wear like skirts. Females, and like they could talk to guys like constantly, no problem. But now, even now, I mean, it's much better, obviously. It's much better. But then like in 2001 or 1997 or when I was born, you could never do anything like that. Not even close. You'd be killed. If you like entangle that lady or do something on the street or even like get a coffee or something or make music, all that stuff, I don't think even possible to do that, things like that.
You know, people, Americans would hear that and say, what you hear you just say, if you did that when you were growing up, you know, you would be killed. And it's stunning to them to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, it's stunning even to me because it's just like, I can't leave a world like that. Like, I cannot imagine. And thank God I was actually young, and maybe I couldn't even feel certain things, but my dad, he can say a lot about this, like how it was, and like he couldn't even, he was like really hard to make money and to raise the family and to take care of them. At that time, like everyone was like covered, especially females,
right,
and like my mom had to wear those like really like the hijab and all that stuff, so nothing's wrong with that, but it's just like some people.
I would not like to wear that. It doesn't look. It does not look very comfortable. It looks hot. First of all.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
I would bump into a lot of stuff too, because I don't know how good you can see out of it, depending on which version whatever is the local law. I don't think that I would do that very well. I guess I would have to. I would learn, but I don't think I would.
Yeah, and in that kind of situation, I'm sure you would probably do it. I mean, you're also like a veteran, so maybe you're not as scared of anything.
No, I have a healthy, respect for the AK-47. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. So I think at that kind of moment and situation, like having kids and stuff like that, so I think my mom had to do that, and my dad, like they were actually riding bicycle. My mom would sit in the back, and so much trouble. Like, right. It was when my parents tell me some stories, it's just so crazy.
Right.
And I can imagine. Yeah.
So talk about the opportunity to go and study in New York. How does that get on your radar as a young man living in Afghanistan? this whole idea of, first of all, going to the United States. Because I would say it's a pretty interesting experience when, you know, I worked out in the sticks, right, in Afghanistan. I worked down in the Helmand province. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, actually, not Helmand province.
Why?
I've been to a few other ones, like Herat, Jalalabad, but not.
Not Helmand. Why not? It's like out in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe that's why I never went.
There you go. That's a good reason. But so it would be amazing when people would get injured and we would medevac them, and they would go from, you know, living in a village or, you know, a city like Mars, so it's an agricultural area, right,
yeah,
with mud walls, right, for, you know, for their compound, and then, you know, their house is a mud house and with dirt floors, you know, a lot of them, and then all of a sudden they come to this American base. I mean, I liken it to like going into outer space, and you would see them, and they're looking around at stuff that they've never, you know, they couldn't conceive of. And there's women, there's, you know, whether they're black, white, Asian, there's men, there's all these cars, there's all this technology in the hospital. So I would imagine going from Afghanistan to New York City, while not, you know, the same, is similar in that, holy smokes, I mean, a cultural change as well as a geographic change, a customs change. How does it get on your radar? And then did you have to win a scholarship, or how did you get accepted?
Yeah, so it was really difficult. It was very challenging. Like, maybe it's too much details even. Like, so I went to, when I was 15 years old, actually, in middle school, I went to, on a tour with this orchestra from my school, 62 faculty members and students. We came on a tour of the United States. We played at Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
We played at Carnegie Center. Yeah. And I played with a violinist at Carnegie Hall specifically, which was really, I was fortunate enough to get that opportunity.
So how old were you when you did that?
15 years old.
15 years old. Okay, so you land in the United States, right? You got you and your classmates and your chaperones. You guys land in the United States. What made the biggest impression on this first trip? You get to the United States, and so what do you see, and what do you go, oh my God, what's the wow moment?
The wow moment was at Carnegie Hall.
Really?
Yeah, and of course the crowd and all these buildings. That was another thing for me. But even though, like, I've traveled before to Germany, I've been to Germany when I was 14 years old, but not to an, like, it wasn't like New York City, you know?
Nothing.
City,
hey, like, truth be told, nothing's like New York City, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing.
But, yeah, but like all these really tall buildings, high buildings, I think that was one of the moments that I was like, whoa, what is going on here? And all these, like, even the cultural, like, the way, like, people are interacting with each other, like, they're how cool they are. Now I'm used to it.
Right.
But they're like, you know, the clothing and all that stuff. That was a little surprising for me. But
yeah, the way Western women dress.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah,
sure. Hi.
Even though I was born in a really open-minded family, so
not that open-minded though, right?
Open-minded. But in Afghanistan, you can't even be that open-minded anyway, even if you want.
So, how did you have trouble not staring? Or because that's a little bit different, especially for you're 15 years old. Like, hello, like, what is that?
No, actually, no. I'm like the type of person. Even like if I get like attention, if I like want to have an attention on something, I don't want to look weird. I don't want to like just like stare at someone. I don't want to look like that. So even when I was young, I knew stuff like this. I don't want to look weird. I didn't want to look someone who has never seen anything in his life. So I don't want to, yeah. So I know how to.
You don't want to be that guy. Tell me about food. What? So you come here, you eat the food. What was your favorite food on that tour?
You know, believe it or not, it was the burger and fries and steak. They're still my favorite.
Okay, so where? You could get burgers everywhere.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't quite remember the place. It was like a bar. and where like there were like a karaoke bar and like people that even the waitresses and the waiters they were singing while they were serving, and it was really cool. I don't quite remember. It was somewhere close to Times Square. So, but now yeah, I go to Shake Shack. It's one of my favorites. Yeah,
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
All right. So that's your introduction, and then you how long was that tour?
It was actually for 2 weeks, and then we went to Kennedy Center. We played there, and then Boston, and then we went back to
Afghanistan.
Back to Afghanistan, and then I finished high school there when I was 12th grade, and I finished there, and then I was in the United States in New York City, I met this family, Ted Rosenthal, who is a jazz pianist, really established jazz pianist, and Lacey Rosenthal, his wife, and their sons, they both, one is still going to Harvard and one is graduated. So when I was in Afghanistan, I went back and I stayed in touch with these people, and I told them how I really want to study abroad, especially because the United States would be great, because I really wanted to, like, the music scene and all that stuff in New York City, especially all these schools and opportunities. So, and then they helped me, and it was kind of late when I applied, but I got to apply to Hunter College in Manhattan School of Music. And then I got admission to both. Manhattan School of Music, they gave me partial scholarship, which wasn't enough. I couldn't afford it because the private school, you know, I'm sure how expensive they are.
Right.
And then Hunter College offered me dorm waiver, free tuition, everything. I didn't have to pay except for my food. I didn't have to pay for anything else, and which was really a great deal and surprise for me. And I had to work really hard. I had to take the TOEFL exam, the English exam, and I had to pass the assessment test Lisa Rosenthal's mom, she helped me through Skype, actually, here, like now, how to improve my English, reading, writing, to pass the CUNY assessment test. When I came to New York City, I had to open a bank account back in Afghanistan to pay for this TOEFL exam. It was just so crazy. And there was son, Aaron Zanto, he was like awake sometimes at 4 a.m. I was awake at 4 a.m. sometimes to figure things out. And it was just so crazy to make it. I'm sure, you know, coming from Afghanistan or some other countries like Middle Eastern countries, way different than coming from like East Asia or European countries or Canada. It's just really challenging. And so I got the scholarship, I applied for visa, and thankfully I got the visa, and then I came to New York City in August 3rd of 2015. I arrived here, and I stayed with this family for a little bit until my school started, and I moved into the dorms, and that's where I started.
So what's it like? Most of us have never gone to college in Manhattan. What's it like?
It's actually really fun. You can make a lot of friends. You can actually you can also face really really like weird things on the subway sometimes, and it's fun too.
That's part of the fun, though, right? The subway is its own like event every day, right? What are you going to find on the platform? What are you going to find in the car?
In Manhattan, I don't think even it's worth it to have a car because everything is a subway. And even in Queens, Brooklyn, Long Island, I don't think it's worth it to have a car. I mean, even if I could afford it, I don't think I would want to have a car because the parking is already like super crazy expensive. Yeah. It's hard to find parking, but there's really so much to do. I could attend concerts at Carnegie Hall. I could go to Juilliard, hear some free student recitals, and I could go to Lincoln Center, which is like the Center of Performing Arts, one of the most and prestigious organizations in the world. And so I could do a lot of things. I could go to Central Park with friends and hang out, talk about music, listen to music, have fun. You know, so it's really, I like it a lot. And I grew up as a person, as a human being. I learned so much from my friends, from my teachers, from college. And I was so lucky. I was a little bit unhappy when I went to Hunter College because they also require you to take different classes like geology, computer science,
right,
and anthropology. But now I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful and happy that I got to take these classes, and I learned so much about American history. I learned a lot, like, since I was from Afghanistan, I think it was really necessary for me to take all these classes. But now I'm ready to go to Manhattan School of Music, which is the conservatory, and all the focus on music, and you can practice a lot. But I really, like, I think as a person, I really learned a lot, and I changed a lot, and it's really, I'm very grateful of all these opportunities and all these people around me who are very supportive, who are very encouraging, and they've been always great people. And that's why I actually also have less experience of, or maybe even not even at all, experience of, like, being like getting in trouble or facing something like really dangerous or random. But yeah, so I'm even though actually when I tell to people, New Yorkers, like real New Yorkers, they're like, what? You think New York people are nice? You think American people are nice? I'm like, yeah, I mean, so far they've been nice to me. And maybe I don't have that face, like a weird face that they could like make maybe racist jokes. So maybe my looks are also like a little different. So no one would probably assume that I'm from Afghanistan. Or,
Right. What my guest this hour is Ilham Fanous. He's a Afghan pianist. He just graduated with his music degree from City University of New York's Hunter College. And there was a piece that he wrote saluting veterans over the Memorial Day weekend that was in Air Force Times. So Ilham has joined us, and we're talking about his life, how he got from Afghanistan to New York City, and just graduating here recently with his degree. Talk to me, Ilham, about the article that I saw, the letter that you wrote. Where does that come from?
So when I was in that, I always wanted to thank American veterans since I went to school and got to learn music and study music, but I never got a chance, and also my English wasn't good. I couldn't really speak English that much. But when I came here, I was very focused on my studies, practicing, and some doing different things. And then my friend, who's from Tennessee, Robbie Grayson, he's actually a mutual friend, because another friend who attended my recital, she introduced me to him, to Robbie Grayson, and then I think apparently she told him about me, and then Robbie Grayson contacted me, and then he told me about American veterans, like how, and he had a lot of friends who were American veterans, and actually who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. So he talked to me, and he said that your story, like how I came here, how I got the opportunity to study in New York City as a musician, as a pianist, even as someone from Afghanistan. And then he told me about like how much they struggle, how much they suffer. And I kind of knew that, but not to that extent, that he told me how like they witness things, they lose their minds, they just can't, like they get disabled and like they get injured, they witness so many things that they can't handle sometimes, they can't deal with it. And then that kind of inspired me to write this letter, and then like really thank and take the time to actually do this. And I did this, and I just wrote it down, and of course I got help from people to proofread and edit and all that stuff. So I just wanted to write this because this friend basically inspired me, and then I was just I really felt all the stuff that I've gone through and how I ended up being in New York City and studying what I really like, and being like surrounded by all these very supportive and encouraging people. So I really wanted to express my gratitude, and I really wanted to thank these people, because these are actually one of the main reasons I think that I got to do what I really need to and what I want. So yeah, that's the a little backstory information about the paper.
So the story gets written. And have you got much feedback from the story?
You mean when it was published?
Yeah, the one that was published. Have you got much? Have people reached out to you? Because I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was touched by it.
Yeah. So a lot of veterans actually who served in Afghanistan, a lot of their parents. I've received like about 30 emails so far. I'm sure I'll received more, and they thanked me. They told me how much they liked it and how much they how they felt. It really made me so proud, actually, and so happy that I did this. And it's just so special. It's so valuable. It's so precious for me to hear from people and sending all these emails and telling their stories, which is also sad, really sad. Sometimes they tell me how they get, for example, how they got injured, what they seen through. And some of them actually told me how much they enjoyed being there, how much they enjoyed meeting all these like young boys from Afghanistan. They were so cool and they had really great memories, some of them, and some of them, of course, they didn't have good memories, and they were telling me how heartfelt a letter it was, and it's just so valuable. It's just so precious for me. I see all these emails, and I responded to pretty much all of them so far, but I still keep going through to respond and make sure to respond to all of them individually, not just like writing one email and send it to everyone. So I just want to make sure to write for everyone like differently, individually, and
well, you're an artist, so your business is to touch people with your music, but you've certainly touched a lot of people with your story and the article that we all saw. You know, it is an interesting experience that when you go to, as an American, you know, you go to the other side of the world and to this very foreign world that you don't, you know, we didn't grow up there, we don't know it. And then when you get a chance to meet, you know, civilians and little kids, like the little kids are fascinated with them. These are Americans, right?
Yeah.
These are Americans. And it's always one of the coolest things that happened is if, I was a Marine. And so Marines, maybe somebody has a boom box or something like that. And they turn that thing on and whether it's rap music and most time little kids have seen some of it on TV and they'll see Marines start to do that and the smiles they get on their faces and the way they laugh and all of a sudden all these things separate you. It seems like music moves all of them out of the way. And it's very cool and so many great memories, you know, come from that. And sometimes like, the candy that we have, the food that we had, you know, little kids are incredibly inquisitive and they'll come and they'll eat it. And they like it. They always want to wear our sunglasses, right? Because they're cool.
For me, I mean, I feel really like sometimes it gives me chills to like kind of think about stuff like this, and it's just so special. I wish like all these politicians, I'm sure some of them do, but like think about this and like try to make the world like a better place and. It's just, I feel like sometimes the world lacks certain things that maybe we have to do and try, at least try. And I feel like to be together and like do something together, not just individually, I think that's really even more powerful and that make a difference. And that's what I'm looking for in the future, to do more things with people. And actually this person, Michael, I think his name was Michael something, I forgot. Green West, or something, Green West or Point West, there's an academy that, the veterans study, and, actually upstate New York. I think it's an hour and a half or 2 hours on the train from the city. So he contacted me and he wanted me to compose a piece and dedicate, because their reunion in the fall, this coming fall. So he wanted me to compose a piece and dedicate and play it in their concert hall at the academy. And I was so happy and I was like, yeah, sure. I really look forward to this. I would be happy and really honored to do this. So I will probably do that for like compose a piece and dedicate it to the veterans there in the academy in the fall.
So, all right. Well, you're going to have to, first of all, you have to send me the best piece of music you've ever done, right? That way I can use it on my show, right? Is it kind of one of the lead-ins of bumper music? And then when you compose that song, you need to send that to me too, and I'll play that too. I have some music that obviously touches me, that touches veterans, and I love for the music on this program to come from the soul of this program, which is healing, which is service beyond yourself, and that's what comes from your heart. Tell us about the future. You just graduated. You just finished your undergrad stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to, you've got a scholarship. Do you have another scholarship to do graduate work now?
Yes, I got another scholarship at the Manhattan School of Music, which is actually one of the most prestigious music schools in the United States, and one of the biggest ones, and independent ones. So I got admission there, and a really generous scholarship, almost all tuition, everything is covered. So I'm going to study there for 2 years, master's, and I want to enter some competitions too, like a classical music, and I want to dedicate my life overall to thank people who helped me, including the veterans. And I want to dedicate my life to keep music alive in the certain places and the countries like mine and the neighborhoods who like lack kind of the cultural aspect of the world and the country. And so I want to keep music alive in those parts of the world. And I want to have my own organization to help young generation from those countries to come to the United States and pursue their dreams and do what they love and if they want to study music. So I want to help that, and I want to bring more pianists from that side of the world to perform in international stages, not just from certain part of the world, just playing and entering competitions. I want to see people from Iraq, I want to see people from Syria, from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all those countries to be world-class musicians and to kind of show their love for music and culture and for their country and thank and express their feelings and emotions through music and through what they really like, through art. And I think, in my opinion, in the next maybe 50 years or so or even less, that art might be very handy, I think, because the technological world is going to take over, and I think art, I think, would be the only field, not the only field, but one of the main fields that can be done by computer. It should be a human being to perform it or express it, because it's different.
Talk to me about, everybody watches the negotiations going on about the future of Afghanistan. What do you hear from your parents? What do you hear from your friends about their hope for the future? Because it certainly has been difficult. The war has gone on. I mean, we've been there for 17 years, yeah. And with sometimes more successful than others. Where we sit today, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said recently, look, we cannot drive the Taliban out of the country, and the Taliban is not going to drive us out of the country either. So there needs to be a negotiated solution in Afghanistan. So what do you hear from your friends? We hear what's on the news all the time, but you have people that, family and friends that lives there. What do you hear from them?
Yeah, they just, what I hear from my friend is I don't want to talk about politics so much, but they right. just think, a lot of people actually in Afghanistan, they think that the government's corrupted, unfortunately, and I don't know how much of this is true, but there have been crazy attacks and bombing going on in the last few years since the new president of Afghanistan took place and took the position. So I'm not sure about what's going on, because politics sometimes is just like a movie. Like, you have no idea what people are doing and politicians are doing, but behind the scene,
right.
what's going
right.
on. Because I always think, like, politics is just like movie. Just like watching a series of Game of Thrones. it's just, like, hard to tell what's going on. It's just so different. People come out, like, really differently from what they say or what they do or what... Right. What their intentions are. So my friends are just saying that they don't feel safe. They just want to at least do their education somewhere else. And because in Afghanistan there aren't much opportunities to kind of any field that you are at, it's very hard to get to the level that you want to, like a world class level. If it's like either economics or computer science, whatever it is, like music, especially music, there's no way you can be. There might be, but it's almost impossible to be a concert artist and or even a great teacher from Afghanistan, you have to do your education abroad. I think it's just, I think it's necessary to do that. And so I think they really want to do their education and come back maybe in the future to secure the future of Afghanistan and the future of music in Afghanistan. Some of my friends are really talented. They're still at the school. They're teaching now. They're teachers and teaching young kids, the new students who are entering the school. So they do really hope that they want the situations and the political situation, all everything gets better in Afghanistan. And they're trying, they're doing their part, but they, at the same time, they don't feel very secure, their families, even my family, that's why they're in India right now, because they have to move. But thankfully, at least we can do music, at least that's the, because of, after 2001, at least we could make music, at least it's not that much controlled by Taliban. So in that case, I would say it's better, but it's still, things going on, the negotiations. I don't know what would happen with this, but I think at some point maybe Afghanistan should be independent, and the other countries should help them to be independent rather than just maybe like be there just like give money or something. Because politicians, I don't know what they do with the money that they receive. Because most of the people who are in power, their kids are like even out of the country. Their kids are not even there because they know it's not safe. So I don't know what they do with that money. I have no idea, but I hope the world will become a better place sometimes, and especially places like Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. I hope they become independent countries someday in the future. I really hope for that. They should be independent. We are really thankful. Like, we should be thankful. It's just so great that everyone is helping, but so great that we can make music. I can make music. My dad can sing. He can have gigs. So it's really great. But hopefully someday, I hope for Afghanistan to be independent.
I have a kind of a different question, and I'm curious about what your friends say, what you think. I mean, in the part of Afghanistan that I worked in, we were there specifically to deal with the opium, the poppy that grows in South Central Afghanistan, and it's everywhere, right? I mean, it's the world's opium, one of the world's great opium production places. As an Afghan, is that a subject of debate in your country about? Is there a way that we can convert this into something else? Because the money they make off poppy is pretty good money. How do we change that? Do you guys have that discussion or not?
I haven't had much discussion on this, but it is a big thing. It's a huge thing. They make a lot of money, but I don't know if it's healthy for the country. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it really is. But it's how the Taliban paid for their operations. So we would have farmers that would say, I don't want to grow that. And they would say, yeah, you don't have a choice. You either grow it or your kids are going to start getting killed. So
yeah, that's why there are certain neighborhoods and certain locations, and even Kabul, that there are like bunch of people, like a big group of people doing drugs, and they're like under the bridges, and they do all these weird things. They even like get a dog addicted, which is unbelievable. And it's just like, I'm sorry, but it's kind of nasty. And, right. And like, I saw a video, it's just so crazy. I couldn't see it. It's just, people are, I don't know how it will get better, but right. I hope someday. I mean, I'll try my best. What I can do, I'll do my part. But I'll also try to. I hope to inspire people. I hope to inspire the world to do something about this. And I'm sure there are people who are doing it and who are trying. But maybe it's not enough for the.
Well, it's a big problem. So when you graduate from your master's program. Then what? Will you stay in the United States and perform and work? Will you go back to Afghanistan? Have you thought about your life then?
Yeah, I wanna perform that for sure all over the world, wherever I can. I wanna enter competitions. One of my greatest ambitions are to show a new and a positive face of my country and to represent my country through music. And I wanna have, as I said, I wanna open an organization that helps other young kids from that part of the world, and not just that, but like overall. And I want to have my own schools in those, like, in certain places. And I want to teach, obviously. I want to teach and I want to inspire. That's, I think, one of my biggest goals, to inspire people and perform all around the world. I want to just represent my country and be, because since I'm also, like, the only pianist who plays the standard repertoire, for example, Beethoven, Chopin, all these classical pieces from my country. So I want to inspire and I want to teach other young generations. I want to tell them and encourage them to take choose the same path. And I'm sure there are people already doing it and they want to. So I hope to help them to kind of extend their knowledge and help them to be concert artists, not just like being the best in the country, but being the best, one of the best in the world, and kind of represent the country. So I would do that, yeah.
All right, we have a few more minutes left, so let me ask you some interesting questions about you. Now you've been in the United States for going on 4 years, so you initially started eating hamburgers. What is your favorite American food?
My favorite out there is steak.
Steak. What kind of steak? You're in Manhattan, so a lot of good food in Manhattan.
Yeah, sirloin steak, I would say. There are restaurants that are like grills, that like restaurants that have different steak. But overall, it's funny, but I like steak overall, as long as it's not too chewy and too like low quality.
Yeah, you want good steak.
Yeah, and I really love the medium.
Steak medium. All right. What do you eat with your steak? Your baked potato is a big American thing.
Yeah, a mixture of green beans, baked potatoes, sometimes actually a steak frites, which comes with fries. So
you like that?
Yeah, I like that too. And the sauce and, sometimes vegetables actually. I like that too.
That's always good. What about, is pizza eaten? Do you eat pizza in Afghanistan? Because New York City is a big pizza place. Every street corner, right? I mean, you can get it everywhere. Is pizza big in Afghanistan?
It's actually pretty big. It would be considered like a fancy dish or dinner or to have. Like people sometimes they go with their family to have pizza. But in New York City there are pizza places for $1.
So what is your favorite pizza place?
There's a place called what was it called? I forgot. The Oath. The Oath Pizza. It's actually brand new. They just opened. It's close to Hunter College, actually. 3rd Avenue and Upper East Side. 3rd Avenue between 67 and 66th Street. So it's a really good. Actually, between 66th and 65th. Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite kind of pizza?
So basically this place says that you can get half a pizza or half a slice half of the pizza or the entire, and it's pretty actually small, it's not that big. And you can make your own. So when I make my own, I put the potatoes on it, I put the pesto basil sauce together with the tomato sauce. It's getting too specific now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, what about what's the most fun thing to do other than that's non-musical in New York City?
In New York City, non-musical. Maybe I'll say hang out with friends and go to Central Park. I'd say.
Right. What do you do? So at Central Park, what do you do? Just hang out and watch and people watch and talk?
Yeah. We sometimes just talk and maybe exercise even.
Really?
Like yoga and stuff like that. It's fun, I think, to do. And also watching movies, which you can do it everywhere, pretty much in the United States especially. But yeah, I do that with friends. Sometimes I just go to theaters and watch new movies, especially new ones that are coming out.
Like what? Yeah. What's your give us a movie recommendation. What's the best movie you've seen in the last couple months?
Oh, actually, a week ago I saw John Wick.
Really?
Yeah, the movie. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe I'm from Afghanistan, but I like action movies.
Everybody loves action movies, man. Come on. Everybody does. Who's your so your favorite action movie star is who?
Oh.
You like? Are you an Iron Man guy? Are you?
I really like Iron Man, and you know what? The show that I really like was the Iron Fist, the Netflix show.
Iron Fist.
Yeah, Iron Fist. Maybe you should check it out if you haven't yet.
I don't. I have Netflix. I don't. Come on, who watches that? Like, nobody watches that kind of stuff.
Maybe the action. I would say Vin Diesel,
really?
Dwayne Johnson. I like them.
They're like the same person. They're like two, like the same person. The Rock.
Even the same style of fighting.
Exactly. What about, give me your, you mentioned Michael Jackson, but other than Michael Jackson, give me two or three musical artists that you really follow and enjoy.
Oh, you know, not a popular or classic or any type of.
Any type. Let's go with popular, because classical, we won't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. With popular, I like Lady Gaga. I like her songs, especially the new movie that there is a release with Bradley Cooper.
A Star is Born, right?
Yeah, exactly. A Star was Born. Mm-hmm. I really like their songs. Some of them are so emotional.
Yeah.
I really like the composition. Yeah, so I like them. I like it, like, classic pop, I would say. Like, that's why maybe I would like the, that's why I also like Michael Jackson. And maybe Stevie Wonder, actually. I like him.
Stevie Wonder. Songs in the Key of Life. Do you have that?
Yeah.
There's not a bad song. You want to talk about one of the all-time greatest albums ever. Stevie Wonder's song, I think it's Songs in the Key of Life. I can't remember how many gold, you know, singles that came off that. It was crazy. It was like Michael Jackson's, Thriller or something like that. How many singles were top 10 hits?
Songs
in the Key of Life was very similar to that. Okay, that's two. Give me one more current popular artist that you would say that you enjoy.
Whoa.
Go ahead, look at your phone.
look at my phone.
Look at one of your latest playlists. You don't listen? Do you listen to rap music?
Rock music? No, actually, I haven't listened to.
How about rap music?
Rap music, I do sometimes. Sometimes I do.
Because that's a New York. That's a New York thing, right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, but overall, but yeah, I just look. Maybe I like Taylor Swift too. That's pretty fun. Yeah.
All right.
So some of them, they really have like a good stage presence, I would say. I think that also plays a big role in performing arts. I think sometimes it's important. Some people can get a lot.
Well, you mentioned some pretty big stage presence in Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift. They can fill a room up, yes?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, sometimes people can get really critical. Actually, they're the classical pianist. Her name is Yuja Wang. She's Chinese.
Right.
She's actually like the Taylor Swift of classical piano. she can pack Carnegie Hall like pretty easily.
Right.
It's always sold out when she performs, and she plays like very show off and really crazy, like really hard repertoire when she plays. She also wears like really like clothing wise, she wears very interesting clothing, and some people can be really critical, but I feel like sometimes it's part of the business. I feel like sometimes you have to do certain things that get the audience a lot interested, especially in classical music. Like for young generation, they should be inspired and interested rather than just like, it's not a bad thing, but like usually in classical music, there are usually older people who are watching and listening.
Right. So, it doesn't always have to be a baggy black dress, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be that way. I mean, you could make it fun and interesting and contemporary exciting and still play great music, yes?
Yeah, of course.
But
a lot of
uptight people, though. But, oh, that's good. It's probably good for classical people. All right, here's the last thing I want you to do. The veterans will listen to this. And what I'd like you to do is just tell them your message. As somebody who grew up in Afghanistan, I'd like to, We'll end with that. So what is your message to American veterans who fought in your country?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for this question, actually. I would love to talk about this anyway. Even maybe if you didn't ask, I would probably say something. I'm really grateful. First of all, I just want to thank them all for their work and like dedication and their willingness to go to those countries and serve. That requires a bravery, I think. Like, I'm sure a lot of people can do that, and they're not willing to do it, and they won't do it. So people who are doing it and going, and they're such brave women and men and women, and I even received emails from female veterans, and that's crazy. It's just so brave. It's amazing, and I can't believe how they're like willing to go there and like try to save and serve. And I'm sure most of them, and maybe all of them, have the intentions of saving people and doing great things and try to secure Afghanistan. Unfortunately, I'm not aware of the political situation, what's going in the background or whatever it is, but I'm sure these people are like genuinely really care about these countries. That's why they're going. They're putting their life and danger. And I think in a way, there's no way it's hard to relate to them, but in a way I could relate to them, like leaving family. Some of them are married, some of them are married, and some of them are, they have kids. It's just unbelievable. I can't imagine how they do it, but I left my country and came to this country, but at least this is safe. So I do my education, but for them, they go to Afghanistan to fight, basically, and to witness and to see and to go through all these dangerous situations and just see all these really bad things and can affect you mentally, psychologically, physically. I want to thank them so much. I want to express my gratitude. And I do say it again. I really, if I had the power, I would just meet every one of you, each one of you guys, to thank you all for all this great work and for the willingness to do this for us, to secure the young generation of Afghanistan and countries like Iraq and Syria. So I hope to someday to have a concert for at least most of these veterans, and I hope to make this happen too sometimes in the future, hopefully near future, to play for them, to just dedicate an entire concert for them and play music, make music and laugh together and maybe talk about memories. So I hope that happens sometimes. I've been thinking about this too, to have a concert. So thank you so much for everything. I can't thank you all enough, but you're one of the reasons that I'm here studying piano, studying music in America, in New York. It's just so amazing that how much I've gone through, and I can only imagine how much you have gone through to do what you can to secure the lives of many people who are in danger and who can't live the way they want to and the way they wish for. So, yeah, thank you so much. I hope I can meet you all someday and talk to you guys.
His name is Alam Fanous. He is an Afghan pianist. He studied, just got his degree at City University of New York's Hunter College. So, Alam, first of all, I got your number, so I hope you don't mind if we call you back someday and have you back on. But first of all, congratulations on everything you've achieved. And I know that I speak of all veterans. You know, we do leave our families, and it is the scariest moment of all of it. It's not getting shot at, but it's looking at your son or daughter or your wife and knowing that you may never see them again. And we go around the world to hopefully do good things. So when I saw your story, and I think I speak for, again, a lot of veterans, it made my heart happy that something that is not easy is bearing fruit, and that somebody like you would then reach out back out to us and to say thank you. So on behalf of a lot of veterans, I just want to say thank you to you for making all of our Memorial Day weekend a little bit brighter with your message to us, and wish you all the best, and hope you'll come back on and in the future and talk about your success. And then maybe in the future, if we put on a concert, that you will come and play in it.
Of course, oh, I would love to. I would love that. And of course, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to kind of talk about my life and thank the veterans live on the radio. And so thank you so much for everything. You did a lot. You probably have gone through many things. So thank you so much. I appreciate your time and giving me the time, the chance to talk a little more. Yeah, hopefully someday I'll love to play a concert and I'd love to come and visit. So looking forward to that, hopefully in the future. I'll definitely stay in touch and just feel free to text me, call me anytime.
I will, now that we're buddies, man. I'll be all in your business.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. I'll be happy to have you.
All right. Elam, thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Thank you. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. How about that? Elam Fanous. What a good dude. Now, I mean, to take the time to reach out, to make it known publicly that if I had the power, I would thank every one of you. And, you know, I think we all feel that personally. If you serve there and all of a sudden somebody takes the time out of their day to not only say it, but to say it publicly. And, I mean, I didn't know him from Adam, and it impacted me. So, so I share that with everybody as a, and especially people that struggle. Why do we go there? What do we do? When you put a face on it, right? When you put a face on it, it makes a difference. So, there's a face for you. Saying thank you, Noah. Very cool. Very cool. So wish him nothing but the best. And no, I mean, part of the business plan for All Marine Radio in the future is to do events. When we finish standing up the nonprofit organization, and we're able to raise some money to then take that money and to go do things that promote living with trauma on the backside of it. And part of that will be hopefully be concerts. And so it'll be a celebration, and it'll be an uplifting event talking about that, hey, trauma is not a death sentence. Okay? It can be, you know, a reluctant doorway to a greater place because of what you'll learn, because of how it will impact your life. And so it would be very, very cool to have Elam show up and perform at one of those. Nah, no kidding. So anyway, that'll do it for today. If you're just tuning in, Marine Family needs your help. Paige Winters and her dad . His name is Charlie, former Marine. They were at the beach, and she was attacked by a shark. He punched the shark in the head repeatedly. She lost fingers and parts of a leg. Is expected to make a full recovery. But it's our turn to help them. Okay? So they're trying to raise some money. So check out the All Marine Radio website. Pull up the post, and you'll find the link to the GoFundMe page. Whatever you can give. I was just looking at the GoFundMe page. Yeah. Every time I click on it, it grows by about $500. So their goal was to raise $40,000. In a few days, they're at $35,207. So whatever you can give helps. Whatever you can give. So, hey, it's a tribal duty, man. It's a tribal duty. So get your $25 in there and help a family that's going to need help for a long time. So, having said that, have a great day. Headed to Camp Wilson tonight at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms, California. So fired up about that. Anyway, like I said, any day that I do post-traumatic winning, I know it's going to be a good day. So so I'm excited. So on a Tuesday, let me tell you what we're doing tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll hear, I think Jolynn Lee is the Military Spouse of the Year. Hold on. Marine Spouse of the Year, Jolynn Lee. I'm just curious about who names this, all right? She is the, I met her last time I was there. It's Armed Forces Insurance, right? Lee Tuttle was the Military Spouse of the Year, I think, for her base. Jolynn Lee is the Marine Corps Spouse of the Year, according to Armed Forces Insurance, who promotes this whole thing. So you will hear her tomorrow, and she's coming on to talk about post-traumatic winning. So we'll get to know Jolynn, and I met her with a group of spouses, and that's where the idea of, and this is the second installment of it, it's a segment that I call Spouses React. So we'll talk about her reaction to post-traumatic winning, and so you're going to hear a little post-traumatic winning tomorrow. Anyway, interesting stuff. So, thanks for listening on this, what is it, Tuesday morning? Yeah, I lose track sometimes. On this Tuesday morning, and, we will, tomorrow's show should be fun, always fun to, talk about what went on, when we go do post-traumatic winning someplace. And that is exactly what we will do tomorrow. And excited to do it. So anyway, you know, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to get a chance to meet Gunnar Galinas. Yeah. So that'll be cool. Get a chance to meet him in person. Our careers have crossed paths, but, he and I have never crossed paths. So anyway, be exciting to meet him. Anyway, have a great day on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio over and out.